You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves here with SBS On The Money for this Wednesday, the 4th of November 2020. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Ahead, my interview with Woolworths CEO Brad Banducci, but today was all about the US presidential election, which at the close of trade was still too close to call. The Australian dollar saw some very wild swings, while our share market seesawed, it ended flat. I spoke earlier with John Noonan from Thomson Reuters and asked him why we saw those moves.
Well, I think investors in Australia have done the right thing today. They've stayed on the sidelines. This is an extremely volatile event, or potentially a very volatile event that's binary. I mean, we could see markets move extremely to the upside, easily go 2 or 3%. But if we have a contested election, which is now a possibility because it looks very, very close, we could go 10 to 15% to the downside. So until we get some clarity, until we know who's going to be in the White House, which candidates are going to win, and how the makeup of the Senate and the House and the White House look, we could go in a lot of different directions, and we could have quite a bit of volatility in the next few days.
While the share market was steady, our currency market told a bit of a different story because it rose, the Australian dollar rose as much as 2 to 2.5 cents in the lead up to the election overnight and has come back off a bit. So why that difference?
Ricardo, we had a 2.4% move from top to bottom in the Australian dollar today. That is, we don't see that in a week or a month sometimes. That is a lot of volatility. What happened coming into today, coming into these election results, the market were pricing in a blue wave where the Democrat Biden would win the White House and the Democrats would take the Senate. The markets liked this. They thought this would be very positive because the Democrats would put in a big stimulus bill to counter the coronavirus pandemic. And there'd be some clarity. But what's happened in the last few hours, the blue wave is not going to happen. It's not even a trickle. We don't know if the Democrats are going to win at all, either the Senate or the White House. And while we don't know, and while we have this uncertainty, the dollar is going to go up. Risk assets and risk currencies like the Australian dollar will go down. So that big rise that we had on expectations we're going to get a clear result have completely dissipated and reversed the other way because it looks like we're going to have a very muddy result.
How does what we're seeing now on those markets compare to what we saw in the 2016 presidential election?
Well, I think this time around there's a bit more at stake. And the one reason for that is the prospect of a disputed election. So let's say Trump has done very well in some of the battleground states in the South, but let's say later today or tomorrow, it looks as if some of the battleground states in the Rust Belt in the Midwest United States lean Biden's way, and we have a very close result, and we have to go to the postal votes to find out who's going to be president, and that could take 2 or 3 days. President Donald Trump has threatened on numerous occasions that if it was close, because of the what he calls the irregularities of postal votes, he will contest the election. He's even threatened to take it to court, and it could end up in the Supreme Court. The markets won't like that at all. That would lead to some extreme volatility, uncertainty. This is unprecedented uncertainty that we would have, and a potential constitutional crisis in the United States. So that is what we're looking at. The potential for in the next couple of days, if this is going to be a very close contested election, and it's pointing that it could be.
And how long do you think it'll be before we actually see an outcome?
Well, that's difficult to say. We might put it this way. If Trump is leading latest tonight, when we get all the results in from the Midwestern states, the ones I just mentioned, particularly Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, if he's leading by a big enough margin, and it's pretty safe to say the postal votes that have yet to be counted won't make that much of a difference, it could be later tonight. In fact, the bookmaker odds are suggesting that this could be the case. But I have a feeling that might not be the case. And if so, we could see 1 to 2 to 3 days before we get a strong line on how the postal votes are going, whether they're favoring Biden enough to push him over the edge and to win those states and possibly have enough electoral votes to win the election. And that's when things get really interesting, because if it is very close, I'm sure it will be. Well, I've got a very good feeling that it will be contested.
And the markets would not like that. That is John Noonan from Thomson Reuters. So a closer look at the share market today. The S&P ASX 200 fell just 0.1% to 6,062 points. Resource stocks were weaker pretty much across the board. BHP down by 1.2%, Rio off by 2.2%. The banks were down, CBA leading the falls off by 2%. The retailers did well on better than expected retail sales numbers, which I'll tell you about in a moment. Myer up 4%, Harvey Norman up 0.4%, and travel stocks like Flight Centre and Qantas also rose. For more on that, I spoke earlier with Niv Dagan from Peak Asset Management. In terms of the share market today and the currency market, it's all about the US presidential election. How did we trade?
Yeah, Ricardo, markets are swinging from gains to losses at the moment as volatility starts to unravel. The markets, obviously, all focus is on the election, but we also saw the New South Wales-Victoria border open up and travel stocks are up significantly.
What's the likely outcome when we talk about the US election at this stage, and what's the worst case scenario?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I think all eyes, obviously, is on a clear winner. We want to ensure that in the election, there is that uncertainty is completely mitigated out of the way, and that leads to policy and stimulus coming through.
Which stocks or sectors are most likely affected by a US election, and is it just those with an exposure to the US?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. Obviously, if we see a Trump victory, we are going to get a little bit more of those cyclical come through. So commodities are in strong focus as the US dollar starts to fall. So Fortescue, Rio Tinto, BHP, and obviously the banks. A Biden victory will see some of the cannabis stocks as reforms comes through, while oil and gas stocks will be hardly hit as he is against factoring. So we are watching that carefully.
Okay, let's talk about some local issues. Commonwealth Bank was the first of the big four banks to pass on some of the RBA's rate cut from yesterday, but only to some fixed rate home loans and business loans. We've also got Westpac doing the same thing today. But can the banks afford to pass on the rate cut in full?
We've seen net interest margins across the board over the last 6 months reduce significantly. And there is speculation that a lot of these home loans have been capitalized forward, which may put some negative pressure essentially on real estate prices. Having said that, there is some positive tailwinds come through. The RBA cut interest rates to record low yesterday at 0.1% and unleashed a $100 billion quantitative easing package. So Westpac and some of the other banks essentially haven't passed on the variable rates, but they have reduced the fixed rates, which is a positive for banks.
And finally, locally, we've seen a flood of IPOs at the back end of the year. What's interesting today is that China has suspended what would have been the world's biggest IPO in that of Jack Ma's technology company, Ant Group. What do you make of this move?
It was a $34 billion listing, and Jack Ma's essentially wealth has reduced by over $3 billion overnight. So he hasn't had a positive 24 hours. Look, it could be the election. It could be some jitters across technology, but it has definitely been some interesting timing in terms of the election and that pulling of that IPO.
Niv Dagan there from Peak Asset Management. Now, retail sales, those figures came out from the Australian Bureau of Statistics today. And while retail turnover dipped in September by 1.1% because of demand for food and household goods easing off their recent highs, for the quarter, the September quarter, turnover has risen a record 6.5%, more than offsetting the fall seen during the June quarter when national lockdowns were in place. It comes as Woolworths recorded a 12.3% surge in September quarter sales. However, it expects single-digit growth leading into Christmas. For more, I spoke with its CEO, Brad Banducci. Brad, first quarter sales are up 12% on a year ago. How's October looking?
Well, as we said in our announcement, we have seen a slight step down since the end of the quarter, in particular as Victoria has come out of the lockdown. And we expect sales still to be strong for Q2 going into Christmas, but to be sort of high single digit as versus double digit. But only time, of course, will tell on that.
Do you expect spending to remain high leading into Christmas, or do you think shoppers will start holding back as we head to the end of the year and as government stimulus starts to unwind?
We're not seeing that at the moment, but we're really in the food and everyday needs business. And of course, by staying at home, eating at home, entertaining at home, it is good for managing cash flow. So we're not seeing that. What we are seeing, however, is just customers spending a little bit more for those small affordable luxuries. And we do expect the affordable luxury trade-up to continue through Christmas.
Is it fair to say that we've seen less discounting during COVID? And what does that mean for pricing as we come into Christmas?
Look, during the first wave of COVID, which was April, May, we definitely saw less discounting simply because we couldn't guarantee we would have the product in store. Since June, we've had a full promotional program back at Woolworths, and we expect to have that to continue going forward. We're very focused on value. We know it's always important, especially at Christmas when people are doing big shopping trips. So a little bit of affordable luxury, but a lot of value. And of course, we'll expect that to only continue in the new year as more uncertainty comes into the economy.
What about your supply levels? Have they returned to normal? And what have you learnt from COVID?
Yes, so back in-stock position in store is very good now, and we've had to work hard to get it back into the right position. Certainly, we've got out of the issues we had in April and May, and then we had some challenges in Victoria as well with some of our warehouses in Melbourne, in particular for meat and for some of our health and beauty lines. But we are now back in stock, very focused on keeping in stock through Christmas. What we learned was the need to have some overflow facilities, which we've put in place for Christmas. So if there's another shock, we can respond a little bit more quickly. And of course, making sure our warehouses operate COVID safe.
Speaking of COVID, to what extent are COVID-related costs remaining high? And what are the outcomes of those measures for customers?
Look, we're continuing to be cautious on the topic of COVID and trying to make sure we maintain a very COVID-safe shopping and working environment. We're dialing things back where we can sensibly, but what you still should expect to see in store is where a store is full, we'll have someone counting the number of people in the store, managing flow through the store. We'll also have COVID marshals where we need to in some stores. We'll have someone also managing the flow through the checkout we're required. Anything to keep good social distancing in the store is key for us. We're certainly not going to compromise on our cleaning standards in store or on our trolley cleaning as well. So all those things will continue to be very important for us as we go into Christmas, and we expect our stores to be a little bit busier.
What kind of a shift to online have you seen, and do you think that can be maintained?
Look, it's been a material shift online. It's accelerated many of the trends we had been seeing already in our business for the last couple of years. So it's just brought forward what we expected would take a couple of years has happened in a couple of months. We expect the growth in online to continue, but only if we deliver a great experience for our customers in that space. So we're working very hard to make sure that's the case. But it does meet a need, and it's important that we do a great job of it, of course.
And just finally, does the outcome of the US presidential election interest you, and does it affect the business at all?
Look, at a personal level, I'm very concerned about where we are going as a society, and so I'm very passionate about the topic. At a business level, really, we're just focused on making sure we have a safe, affordable Christmas for all of our customers, and the election won't make a material difference to that.
Brad Banducci there, the CEO of Woolworths. That is On the Money for this US Presidential Election Day, Wednesday, the November the 4th, 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.